In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, we're decking the halls and letting our sleigh bells ring as the queens return for a holiday eleganza extravaganza. Gary and Damon wrap up this extra special episode with a zany bow just for you. Which Christmas queen reigns supreme? Find out as we present the start of the next season of RuPaul's Drag Race as COL Drag Race Tea Time starts now.
That's right, children. It's December 9th, 2018. Welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time Holisleigh Spectacular. If you hadn't heard, RuPaul and the kids at, you know, World of Wonder decided we're going to make a one-off holiday show and we're going to park it on a Friday in December and then we're going to go right into All Stars 4. So,
yes. Oh, man.
Philip, I love it. Already the shade is being delivered in live chat. Do we need to be as drunk or high for this as we needed to be for the show? LOL.
No.
But before we get to that, let's do some introductions, perhaps, because what we do in COL Drag Race, for those of you that don't know, COLDR Tea Time, we have a chat. We have a discussion. We have a little kiki, a little bit of recap and some tea spilling is basically what this is. So,
yes.
That being said, my name is Gary. I'm one of the co-hosts here at Cubs Out Loud. And with me for COLDR is my ever fabulous co-host.
Hello, everyone. It's Damon. How are we doing today?
Oh, look at her. Listen to all that shade. All right.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Get it going now. Get it going now. I mean, I'm probably going to have to hold this all night because...
Yeah, you got that going on. Well, let's jump into this. We got a bunch of topic areas that we want to cover. And the first one is coming right up.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Drag Race Christmas. It's time to start the show. Tonight we crown a winner. Find out who says she's away and who is gonna slay. So bring your Christmas cheer. Who will be the Christmas queen?
Nothing like a big-ass orchestral holiday entrance to get things kicked off.
Of course.
All right, Damon. Overall thoughts on the entire episode?
Oh, man. Where to go with this? So I wrote, okay, girl. And the reason I wrote this is because overall, I am very, very mixed about it. Just in general, like it was a very interesting, and I use that word loosely, interesting show. I liked the theme. I liked what some of the things they did. There were some things that were very much a miss for me. A lot of it just, but it was very much like, whew, that was a lot to take in, and it was a lot to do in an hour. The good thing was, and I'll just push this out. So I have a men's chorus member who has only touched the surface of, say, Drag Race. They've heard about it. They talk. They listen to us talk about it all the fucking time. Da 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 da. So I hosted a little get together at my house on Friday. And he was the only one who showed up, which is fine. No problem. I get it. They don't like me. It's okay. I'm good. No, I'm kidding. But he did, he was the only one that showed up. And but it was fine because it allowed me the opportunity to talk one-on-one with him. And not only that, to kind of teach the children of the show, you know, as someone who has never really seen it, he was very much, you know, doesn't know what's really going on. Now, he knows drag. He knows drag. He knew who RuPaul was. He knew Drag Race and all that stuff. But a lot of the other stuff he didn't know. So I took it upon myself to guide and educate on a lot of the stuff. And it was very cool to be able to do that. So I liked that aspect. And this show was a good, somewhat of a good introduction just based on some of the things that they did. You know, it was kind of formatted like the show in some ways, but in some ways totally not. So, yeah. But then, okay, girl, let me just really quickly spill just a little bit of tea. Just like if this is what we were going for, if this is what All Stars is going to be like, I may have a moment of like some quiet reflection.
Okay. My thoughts overall, this is what I wrote. Chemically enhanced zaniness and zingers. Many a person has commented in social media about if they'd known that they needed to imbibe in certain substances before watching the episode, they probably would have. I was not surprised by the kookiness and the craziness of it, because if you have followed the career of RuPaul, this is very much a callback to the early days when she was doing like public television, guerrilla style video stuff. It kind of speaks a little more to the VH1 era with her and Michelle Visage. Like, it was meant to be campy and kind of silly. It's just nobody knew that going into it. And I think part of the confusion for some people is that it was overlaid like a regular episode. And the concept was that it was a competition. And yet it kind of got muddled. So
muddled.
Yeah, like dream choreographed sequences. Like,
yes.
Like, that was one of the funnier things is when it finishes. Like, that what bothered me was that I didn't like the ending because they were all standing in the middle of the workroom. And then Jasmine's like, did we all just have the same dream? Like, did that just really happen? Well, and I appreciated, like, the outside perspective, like the weird circular logic, the thought on it. What bothered me about it was that it, like, you didn't have to do that. Like, they were all sitting in front of the mirrors when they transitioned to the song and the goofy choreography. If you just went back to them like they were applying their makeup like nothing happened, I think that would have been better. But the fact that you, like, I don't know, you decided to, like, kind of get in on the joke, I was like, anyways.
Oh man, it was so just so. Let me just drop this tea really quickly. What the fuck was up with it being a musical? Like, quote-unquote musical. Like, come on. Like, I know it's holiday and I know it's, you know, Christmas themed and da-da-da-da-da. And hot musicals are kind of a big thing. But, like, Rue comes into the room and literally, like, she comes in and she's, well, we just heard it. Hello, hello, hello. And I'm just like, What is going on over here? Like, what are we? And, I mean, and then after, you know, she did that, she kind of then said to everyone that it was a musical. And that's when everyone else got involved. And I'm just like, okay, well, that's a thing, I guess. So it was very much like, what's going on? And I agree with a lot of people that maybe, I mean, I was drinking wine because I had wine, you know. But maybe something else might have helped. I don't know what exactly, but something else. And yeah. I will be right back.
So, yeah, it got a little crazy, to say the least. And I think people were not necessarily prepared for the wacky factor. It did not bother me. I just kind of wished it had been prefaced better that way before we actually got to see it, because I think the online universal opinion was, girl, what the fuck? Like, they just they weren't quite ready for that. So but let's transition to get into talk about some of the segments of the show.
Sure.
So for those of you that did not happen to know who the cast was or what the heck was going on, so we've got eight competitors. We have, I just realized these pictures are not in alpha order, so that's very confusing. We have Sonique, we have Trixie Mattel, we have Eureka O'Hara, Jasmine Masters, Latrice Royale, Kim Chi, Mayhem Miller, and Shangela. So we've got a mix. We've got some girls who haven't been seen in quite some time, some girls who, you know, just recently were on, big names, competitors, all that kind of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of them things that
it was a very interesting mix of girls. I will say that much. We kind of crossed almost all seasons in some way, shape, or form. You had some early girls, you had some later girls. I noticed, with the exception of Eureka, I think Eureka and Mayhem, I guess they were the more later seasons, technically.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of, there's a gap, I feel, but I can't remember off the top of my head which that gap is. Like, I think it's like between 3 and 7 or something like that. I feel like there's a mix.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, Latrice was 5, I think. And all sorts. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. So, yeah, we had that thing going on. We're going to get around to this, but so we're going to start talking about the entrances. I found this lovely jewel on the internet, and I just wanted to kind of make this known to people, because we are going to end up probably talking about this lovely outfit that Rue wore during the show. But I did not realize that they took a posed photo of her with all the leather boys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was very fun. I was like, oh, well, hello there. Yes, it was. So, but we will come back to that momentarily. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about entrance looks.
'Twas the night before Christmas. All activity had ceased. Not a creature was stirring. Not even a beast. The stockings were hung. Oh, wait. I hear them coming.
Yeah. Ross Matthews is the gayest elf ever. That was such a stretch. But, you know.
Mm.
All right. So, entrance looks. All of the queens come into the workroom. So, these are actually, I found from Instagram online. These are the professional, like, shot images of what they wore when they walked into the entrance. So, we have Eureka here in red. It's lots of ruffles. I thought she looked pretty good overall, just as a quick, you know, mm-hmm. synopsis for me. And then I'm going to go through real quick so that we can see who the other individuals are. If it will let me do what it's supposed to do. Oh, of course it's not going to. That's like such a bummer. But while I try to fix that, Damon, why don't you tell me what you thought about the entrances?
So I wrote down perfectly pronounced in every way. And I will say this much about all of them. I love mostly their entrance and their looks and what they wore. And I also really very much loved what they came out with in regards to the representation of themselves on the show. You know, obviously they knew it was a holiday show, so a lot of them had very holiday themed entrance runway looks, or entrance looks, excuse me. And it ran the kind of gamut. You know, you had some, you know, some classical like red and whites and, you know, what have you, and greens, but you had a few that did some off-kilter things. One of them being, I believe, Kim Chi in particular did really well. And then Jasmine Masters, again, I love you to death, Jasmine. I love you to death. You're an amazing person. But I don't know what you are doing with regards to your look. I'm not quite sure if it was just like a like an afterthought or whatever, or maybe the first thing you had kind of, you know, something happened to it. But I love the black stole that you don't get to see in the picture when we'll get to that. But the other like cut out like strip thing was very odd to me. And I'm not quite sure what happened with that. I really don't know what you're thinking about with it, although it was kind of a whitish color. But I would have loved it if you had that right there. I would have loved it if you had done like a red hair or a are like a green or something to kind of give it that holiday theme. Because everyone else kind of had the same idea, like, oh, we're coming into a holiday show, let's do a holiday themed thing. And you did not. Absolutely. I don't want to say did not. I mean, maybe you're, I don't know what you're going with. And I wish, like, in my, I wish I knew what was going on in your head with your concept of what you were wearing.
Yeah. it's one of them looks, I will say that. I think for the entrances, I said that they were prepared and seasoned just right. One of my favorites is right here is Kimchi. She looked absolutely immaculate in her outfit. Some of them were not so good and a little questionable to me, which was a little strange. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised in a way that they made the selections, the decisions that they did. It's not available to be seen in Shangela's promo pic, but she actually had little like Christmas lights that actually lit up because she was dressed like a Christmas tree. Sonique's like naughty Santa baby thing I thought was pretty good. Trixie Mattel. Yeah. Girl.
Skinned Muppet.
Skinny Muppet. Oh, that's
skinned a Muppet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This one was questionable to me. I mean, seeing it in live as opposed to this picture, because there's when I first got, was I didn't hate it as much as when, you know, we for those who don't know, we previewed, we were doing a couple of tests before we started this show last week, and I got an opportunity to show, Gary showed me all this, how this is all going down, and I was very much like, ooh, that look. Ooh, that look. It just does not look great. And but seeing it in on the episode, I got it. Like, do I love it? Not so much, but it was pretty decent.
Right.
Yeah. There are a few queens that I could have done without, but you know, I still think a lot of them did a really great job with what they were doing for the theme and what they were presented probably. You know, they were probably presented with, hey, it's a holiday show, so here you go.
Right. No, and I agree. Like, they overall did pretty well, most of them. There was just a couple of that I raised an eyebrow about, some of the decisions that they made. I wasn't quite sure what they were thinking of. So it's a huh? But yeah. I think they did pretty well.
There were a lot of question mark things during this episode. And speaking of which, so Philip in the live chat said, I would have been fine with the musical aspect if there was a storyline. Instead, they tried to make a competition, quote unquote, into a musical, and it was too much. And I agree 100% with that. I would have, if they had made it a musical theme like they've done with the other, you know, episodes, like when it's a challenge, I probably would have been okay with it as a musical. But when they did this kind of competition, musical, runway, holiday, what have you, it kind of becomes this muddled, I don't want to say mess, but it becomes very muddled. It becomes very messy. That's not better. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little messy.
That's a thing. Any other thoughts on the entrances?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So let's move on to our next section.
Hey sis, it's Christmas. You can cross me off of your wish list. Call Santa Claus and the missus. We gon' have the best Christmas that ever existed. Hey sis, it's Christmas.
Okay, so for some reason we decided to have an 80s montage-y, like with a song. Anyways, as some people have pointed out, this episode was very much a vehicle for RuPaul's new album or her previous album, depending on which one the music was coming from. So, Yeah. So we're rotating through right now images of the outfits runway that the queens wore for when they were on the runway for the performance of Hey Sis,
yes.
Done in an 80s style. So, Damon, what were your thoughts on their 80s outfits? Oh,
my God. I just said fun, fun, funky, and bright. And this is really, really just kind of the way I felt about it. It was so... just so well, like, put together. Some queens, Kate, went all out. As I'm looking now, I see Sonique, who I loved. I loved her look. I loved Trixie. I was almost floored because I immediately got 80s from her. Mm-hmm. And with the blue eye, with the blue eyeshadow and everything else, there are a couple that were questionable. Jasmine, again, I like. She, some of it is 80s, but a little bit is kind of 90s, and it's kind of blurring for me for her. But there were, but most for the most part, everyone kind of hit the 80s head, you know, right on the right nail on the head, as it were. I loved it. I loved the idea behind it. I loved the choreography that they did, which was done by Todrick Hall. I loved that they had the pit crew kind of come in and be like the dancers and stuff too with it too. It was just a lot of fun. And as someone who grew up in the 80s, it was a throwback to some of that stuff. Not that I wore any of this, but still.
Right. Which kind of gets to my thing. I felt that these were drag versions of 80s stereotypes. And I say that because everything that's exhibited in all these looks is not real to what was actually worn at the time. It makes me think of how we have this weird nostalgia about past decades as we get older. And so, like, you have these parties, like, whether it's for Halloween or a theme party or something. Mm-hmm. And so people think they can wear certain things and, like, it's evocative of the era. And it's like, well, that was a thing that happened in that decade, but that's not everything. You know what I mean? And so, mm-hmm. like, yeah, bright colors were a thing, but I don't recall, having lived through this decade, any of what anybody's wearing being an exact match. Some are a little closer than others, I will say that. But that's why I was like, I think these are drag versions of the stereotype of what people think of the 80s. Like, Shangela's, I think, was very much close to on point as far as a Cyndi Lauper-ish kind of, you know, hey girl look. However, the color combination, I was like, okay, it's obvious you're really going for 80s because that's all bright colors, and in reality you probably wouldn't have worn exactly that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As I'm going through it, I'm wondering, this is going to sound really terrible. I wonder how many of these girls were actually around in the 80s.
Well, is it? Oh, well, let's see. Jasmine is the oldest of the cast. She's 41. And the youngest is Eureka at 28.
Hmm.
No. I'm sorry. Latrice is the oldest at 46. I misspoke. So Latrice is actually just a little older than myself. So I know that she was definitely around for it. So we've got definitely Latrice and Jasmine living through the decade. Sonique and Shangela and Mayhem are all about 36, 35. So they're, you know, about a decade behind. Yeah. And then everybody else is younger, 31 down to the 28.
Babies.
So something like that. It was cute. It was fun. It was goofy. It didn't quite make sense. But then again, I've already said that the show was pretty much just kooky. So I wasn't sure what the hell was going on.
It was very weird. And I think I like what they did. And I like that they kind of did it, but I like that it was a little breath of fresh air, quote unquote. Not really fresh air because it's, you know, throwback 80s stuff. But as opposed to everything being kind of holiday, they kind of threw this little curveball in to give it just a little change up, which I was happy with.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. That's about all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the runway.
This Christmas, we challenged our queens to jingle their bells to my new holiday love song, Get to You, in a retro 80s look. And tonight on the runway, category is non-denominational Christmas eleganza. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines and may the best Christmas queen win.
So, non-denominational holiday eleganza. So basically, sky's the limit. You can pretty much dang near pick anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there and see what comes up. So we have two different sets, if I can get this thing to work. I love technology and how it, you know, doesn't want to do.
Changes up on you. Doesn't want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, really? True that. So first we have Eureka. I had told you before, Damon, how I had seen this picture by accident. It was released on Instagram prior to the episode airing. Not that it's a big deal, because a lot of stuff was given away in like preview trailers and like some little like shorts and stuff like that. So I told you what I thought this look evoked, but I thought it was interesting that she actually said in the episode that this was a replica of, I think, 1996 holiday Barbie, in particular, is what she was going for. In this case. And I was like, oh, well, already then. You know, she decided that that's what she was going to do with it, which I was like, oh, all right. Hey, girl, you do you. I am trying
and
to get
when
this thing
you
to work.
Go to images and you look up 1996 holiday Harley Barbie, it is a pretty decent look.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exact, obviously. It's the red in the holiday is darker. Holiday Barbie is darker than what she was wearing, but still.
All right.
So very cool.
That's not going to work. So we'll go with this instead. because those particular post shots weren't great, in my opinion. So we're going to rotate through the queens in their, like, these are actual snapshots of them when they were on the runway moving around. I thought some of these were really amazing. But before I get into my stuff, Damon, what did you think overall of their runways?
So good. Oh, my God. With the exception of one, and I'll get to that in a second. But for me, most of them were very good. Me and my friend Alistair, the chorus member, were sitting there watching, and just, you know, every one of them were like, oh, that's so good. Oh, that's really nice. And I agree. Like, for the most part, most of them were really good. A few standouts for me personally, but a lot of them to me were really good. There's a couple of exceptions, and I'm sure we're probably going to get to it here in a minute, but I think it's very much a good idea to kind of put it all like differently and like give it an open theme without pigeonholing again Christmas and making it so that right there. That is the one. What the fuck was that?
Oh, wait. Well, all right. So I have another image of another picture of that particular one. So let me pull that one up because it's a still. This is from the singing montage moment after the runway. Rue informs all of the girls that they have to go back to the workroom to sing carols, to sing Christmas, like holiday songs. And this was also a part of the acid trip, like, wackiness of the show, because Trixie is playing her, I can't remember what it's called. It's a type of harp. And so she's playing that. Right. And then she wants everyone else to join in. And then you quickly realize after, like, this, as the segment's going on, oh, Trixie is the only one with musical talent, apparently, that can play instruments, because all the voices are not their voices, like, after Trixie first starts. And Jasmine is at the piano, apparently as some, like, piano-playing maestro, which she is not. I can't believe they showed her hands not even hitting the keys. I was like, what are you doing? You could have faked that out so easily and not really had to show that. But
exactly.
The reason I picked this picture is because I was pretty sure everyone was going to say, WTF, Jasmine.
Yeah,
with this particular runway look. So when I watched the show the first time, I didn't catch it. But in the second and the third and the fourth times, and I was like listening to it and watching it, there is references from the judges about her being a present and that she had a bow on her head. And so I thought that was interesting because what I did read online, because I was like, all right, I got to look into this further. Jasmine said apparently she did an Instagram story and she explained the reason why she does not have a voiceover explaining her runway outfit is because on the day that they did those recordings, like they come back in, you know, and do post I forget what they call it, AVR or whatever. So anyways, they came in and they talk in the studio and it gets recorded and they explain some stuff. Apparently on the day that that was happening, Jasmine never did it because somebody whose name shall, you know, not be uttered, Shangela, was apparently running way late and backed everybody up. And Jasmine was like, I have a life. I got shit to do. I'm out. Bye. And she literally left the studios and never recorded her voiceover explaining what her look was on the runway. That is that is the tea that is being spilled on the internet about why you never got any explanation as to what she looked like.
She was doing. Yeah. Because that is true. Because I don't know what was going on. And nothing really helped. And they, like, the fact that she kept it on was like my big, like, what is going on here? Well, I can see maybe after the fact why she kept it on. Maybe she didn't have a wig to go with it because she wasn't planning on taking it off, which is a thing because, you know, I just, it's very much like, okay, I don't know. But, you know, choices, whatever.
Right. I have to agree. Philip says in the live chat, not especially impressed with Jasmine's or Kim Chi's outfits, but he loved Mayhem's look. I actually really loved Kim Chi's. Latrice's right here actually is the one that I was like, it's okay. Like, it's not that amazing. Mayhem floored me with this Christmas Krampus look, although as she's calling it Krampussy, I think is because she went out actually in public, like at a bar or something in a gig, done up again.
Nice.
And that, so I thought that that was kind of crazy that she did it. But so for me, it was hits and some hmms. Like Sonique's gingerbread thing was cute. Apparently it's done by a designer. That was a big deal. I have a problem with it though. You're not really going to be able to see it necessarily in the image, but if you look close enough, her zipper is bright ass yellow, which is not any of the colors that are in her gingerbread outfit. It annoys the ever living shit out of me. And the same thing happened to Jasmine in her outfit right below where it does. It finishes the drop down. It's a bright yellow zipper. I was like, did you two bitches? Obviously, you queens went to the same designer because there was a sale on yellow zippers because it's just insane. I'm like, why can you not get your zippers to match your outfits? I don't understand this.
I don't get it either. I saw that yellow zipper on Sonique's outfit, and where it was a 10, it literally dropped it to a 9.5 for me. Because I was literally, me and Alistair were like, oh my God, that outfit is so amazing. Because it was so well tailored and so well put together and so just so awesome. And the worst part is the yellow zipper is at her fucking crotch. Like,
right.
Like, what? But anyway, sorry.
Right, they made him like normal conventional pants. So instead of doing a zip up the back over her butt, they decided to put the zipper in the front. But the panel, the overflap doesn't really sit well, and that's what reveals that it's this bright yellow. And I was like,
Anyway, go ahead, continue.
No, so yeah, some hits and some hmms. Jasmine was a hmm. I didn't quite understand it. But there was apparently it's a fashion. It's a legitimate fashion kind of look, this like gauze over the face thing, which I had another image, but I don't think I'm going to get it to be able to come up. But anyways, so Latrice was kind of a hmm. Like I said, you know, Mayhem was, I thought, amazing. I really love what Kim Chi did because to me it was classic Kim Chi. She was thinking outside the box. I mean, she's been, what, corn on the cob and buttered toast. And I mean, she's done all sorts of crazy things in her career. Shangela as Frostivus? I can't remember what the name was. There was
Frostilla or something.
Right.
It was.
It's a callback to the previous season, which to me, I thought it was a prop. I barely remembered it.
It's a call out to her second season.
Yeah.
When she came, she was first on the show, her whole, because it was the, if I remember, no, not her first season. Maybe it was the second one. It was the Christmas on a Dime kind of thing, and they had to do the she did the little re-thing, and she brought out the Santa or the Frosty like thing that she put together, which was awful.
It's
kind of calling out to that then.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
I thought overall the runways were really good, and that they They did what they were supposed to. So it was like a regular season. Sometimes you're an ood and odd, and other times you're not in that case. Are you ready to move on to our next section?
Sure.
All right.
Ladies, this is your last chance to impress me and prove to the world you are the Christmas Queen. Time has come for your lip sync for Christmas. Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
Yeah. All right. So, snaps and eye rolls. In the meantime, I'm going to put up this, actually this one image, if I can find it. Where the heck is it? There it is. So go ahead, with your snaps and eye rolls.
Okay. Damon. So I'm going to give, some very big snaps to Mayhem's runway look. The cramped pussy, as we are now calling it. When she came out, I was floored. Alistair, who was here with me, it called out to his inner goth kid that he's had. You know, he was a goth kid, but, you know, still. So it very much called out to that, and I was very much so fucking amazed with it, because it was very just well put together. And that is one of the things I've loved the most about Mayhem, especially when she was on the show, was she knew how to put together a look. You know, it was amazing, so wonderful, and it all just kind of worked together for me. I just think it was the shoes that are hooves to the, you know, horns on the head to the makeup on around the eyes, the contouring, everything. It was just so well put together, and I got exactly what she was going for right when she came on stage, so kudos to her for that. My eye rolls is kind of just an overall kind of about the whole show. I get it. This was pretty much a product placement for RuPaul's soundtrack. Or it's not soundtrack, RuPaul's like CD, holiday CDs. And while I got it in some ways, the fact that we spend an hour, quote unquote, crowning our next holiday queen, or making this whole big production about we're going to have a new holiday queen, and we get to the end and we're about to announce it, and, you know, they pretty much say, sorry, spoiler alert, hey everybody, if you don't know already, they're all the holiday queen, blah, 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 lovey-dovey, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's cute. That's really cute for a, you know, special that you put together and, you know, pretty much told everyone, this is what we're going to be doing, and this is what it's going to be, and who's going to be the next holiday queen. And I would have, you know, personally felt kind of cheated when nobody went home or nobody lost. Like, oh, so I maybe spent all this money on this holiday couture. I put all together all these looks. I came down here for this, you know, trip, and I don't get a crown. I don't get anything. Like, what's going on here? And that was my biggest sort of like womp womp about this thing. And that's why I give it the biggest eye rolls for me, is because I felt like, not cheated in a way, but just kind of like, I got why they did it. It's holiday. It's Christmas. No one wants to really be a loser, blah, blah, blah. I got that, but it kind of felt like a cop out to me.
I understand, yeah. And I can't disagree. Yeah, no. So let me do my snaps and eye rolls first. So I want to give snaps to details, details, details. And that's because I think it's really important that we recognize that some queens are, they've got an amazing team behind them, or they are insanely talented beyond any scope that we can understand, and the outfits that they pick and the design and all the rest of that jazz. And I think it shows on the runway. It shows in the entrances. You know, we all know their talents. from them having previously been on. Sonique was kind of the only individual in this particular cast that was an outlier in that she hadn't, if I recall correctly, she's never been on All Stars. And it, and she had said, I think, that it had been 9 years since the last time she walked into the workroom. So that was a big deal. And I thought that was pretty cool. So I was actually very happy to see her. It's not that I was unhappy with any of the other girls, but it's kind of like, yeah, but most of them have been around recently. So it was good to see her. And knowing that Jasmine's in All Stars 4, to me, it was kind of a shoo-in. And that's what the interesting thing is like, so for those that don't know, if you happen to buy this season through iTunes, for All-Star Season 4, this episode we're talking about right now, the Holiday Spectacular, is actually included in the season, which I found really interesting because I was really irritated. I used to be able to stream Logo. Now, apparently, I can't. So I was like, well, I guess I'll go online and get AS4 as an entire season to purchase, and that way I'll have it so I can watch it after it goes live. And then all of a sudden, like in the middle of the night, an email popped through and I saw it in the morning and it says, you have an episode. And I was like, I do. And I was like, well, the Meet the Queens was already included. So I was like, I wonder what this is. And sure enough, it was this exact episode. So nice. I find it interesting that World of Wonder decided to include this as part of AS4 because these eight contestants are not the eight contestants that are in All-Stars Season 4.
Like, I think there's 10 contestants, aren't there?
Right. Like, it doesn't match up. So it's a little strange to me, like, why it's sort of a tie-in. I mean, there's a couple of people who do carry in Latrice and Jasmine are both going to be in AS4. But, you know, like, Trixie already won AS3. You know, I mean, it was just kind of strange. From that circumstance. So my eye rolls are, what the fuck, Clary, is what I decided to say, because I just, yeah, I'm half in that boat. Even though I explained earlier that I understood them going for the kooky thing, I was still not prepared for the kooky thing. So, yeah, it was strange to me in that case. I want to go back and talk about two particular things. So in particular, this moment is one of the what the fucks.
Yes. Yes.
So this is the girls and they're all gathered around a beautiful piano. And you've got most of them standing. And well, that's not true. I just realized Kimchi's sitting on a big red stool.
Yeah. And it's like a couple of people are as well, potentially.
Yeah. And they're all like, they're all holding these books and they can't necessarily read from them that well. Like, it was just weird to me. It seemed very much like a one shot, like they only did one take kind of thing. And I was like, why? Like, it's just because this episode really evoked to me that all the queens knew what was going on getting into it. I don't know if there really was a surprise element that nobody was crowned. Maybe. But I think going into it, a lot of them knew. Like, I think they got the memo. I think the letter somehow explained in the looks and everything that this is a kooky episode. Like, it is meant to be wild and wacky. And they went with it.
Okay.
Because I think those that are able to roll with it did really well. I mean, it was in the very, very beginning of the episode, that whole thing where they put in two pieces that didn't fit into the actual show. The one is where Kimchi goes off, on Latrice?
Somebody, yeah.
And then, like, Trixie comes up in the pink bunny thing from The Christmas Story. She's talking to Shangela, who's in a onesie, because those outfits are, well, actually, in both of these pieces, are evocative of the weird dream sequence. But it was funny because she comes over and wants to give her a sugar cookie. Now, this I thought was actually funny. The interaction where Shangela gets to relive her infamous moment with Mimi, I'm first, and they flip the script, and instead of it being about a sugar daddy, it's about a sugar cookie, because I am what? Festive. Which I thought was right. I just thought that was hysterical. And all I kept thinking is, I wonder how many takes that took. Because it was really well done. Like, and it's not to say that Kimchi's rant wasn't good, but that one was kind of like, compared to the other one. I thought it was
very well done, and that was one of the things that like I had to show Alistair where that came from. Like, why was that hilarious? Because he doesn't know. And it was very fun to kind of do that too. Ended up finding a video of the top 10 greatest like RuPaul Drag Race like fights. It was a Ms. Mojo thing. Anyway, yeah. It was just cute. And it just, again, it's just, you know, I agree with you with the what the fuck kind of thing. I feel like this was, the good thing that I liked was this didn't feel as thrown together as I thought it was going to be. That was the first thing. So kudos to the production staff and everyone else who came up with these ideas. Do I think it was wacky and weird? Hell to the yeah. I think it was fucked up. What the fuck was that?
Well, so the reason I put this picture back up of Jasmine and the thing with the bow that is falling down, like her face front, it's no longer on her head. The actual bow part of it, this thing. It's interesting. I brought it up because Philip said in the live chat, his response to my idea, since they said everyone wins this, this is the only time they could do a format like this. I completely agree. And B, they may never do another holiday show. Like, I think this might have been a stunt just to get them leading into AS4. I don't know that for certain, obviously. The other thing he said, Philip said, was I thought it was odd that Jasmine pulled a Valentina in the lip sync, but RuPaul didn't get on her about it. So they probably did know, meaning Philip thinks my premise that they knew going into it that there wasn't really going to be a winner is part of why Jasmine chose the route that she went. We don't know the reality. I haven't seen the Instagram story to know if Jasmine really explained the look per se. But I did find it interesting that Shangela in confessional calls out the Valentina thing because she, has her face covered up or whatever. But her face notably is done up. Like if you can kind of see through it, not very well maybe in this picture, although, well, you can see that eyebrow really well. Her face was painted, so it wasn't like she was hiding anything.
Yeah.
It was very much apparently evocative of a certain like kind of fashion trend or whatever. All right. That being said, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that this for me was one of the pinnacle looks of the episode. While I am not a fan of this shade of purple for a holiday show, I thought Rue looked amazing in it. I thought that it was really, really well done. And this goes back to my comment about details. This look is evocative. The hair, the makeup, all of it, the shoe. Like, I was like, yes, thank you. At least one thing was accurate as per an expectation in this. We don't have any reference to it because I didn't put anything in and I don't have any still images. Under the what the fuck, Clary eye roll part, let's talk about the obvious body doubles in the ridiculous flip the script. All the queens get to go up on stage with the guest judges, and then Rue and Michelle are going to do a lip sync for their life to one of Rue's songs. It was very revealing to me, like, to see that. And I thought, wow, they didn't really seem to rehearse this very much, which is really disappointing because even Michelle, I bet, like, either – I have two theories. Either one, Michelle knew this was all just silly and jokey, so she didn't give a shit about, like, how she was presenting herself in that number.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, they didn't rehearse it, and Rue didn't give any time, and Michelle had to kind of wing it, which really sucked. Because Rue has not really performed live in a long-ass time. So this is about the closest we were going to get to actually seeing her lip-sync and perform something.
Mm-hmm.
For the segments where there was not an obvious body double, she did really well. I was really happy with her silver pantsuit outfit. She knows how to walk. She reminded me of Naomi Smalls. It was all leg, even though it wasn't visible. I was really happy with how she looked. Michelle and her maroon number on in the hand was not that great. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was a mixed thing, this whole thing that was happening. You know, the body doubles was the what the fuck part. I mean, well, first of all, it was a what the fuck that they even did the lip sync thing. And then they had all the queens each say a different part of the line. And then, you know.
Yeah.
It was all kind of weird to me. But then
it just,
like, when Rue at the one point goes and walks all the way back to the end of the runway, I was like, oh, please do not do cartwheels. Do not do a death drop. Like, girl, I love you.
You will die.
Right. You are old.
Like, you are old. You will die.
You will break. Like Michelle Visage says about my hip, you know, yes. and you know, my old one, Rue versus her new one. So, but when she went walking back, I was like, oh girl, what's she going to do? And then she just knew for timing for the song, like how to present herself. Some aspects of it were good. The body doubles, on the other hand, oh, sweet baby Jesus.
The obvious body doubles, like big hair for the sake of like covering the face and everything else. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, if Michelle or Rue had suddenly done like a fucking backflip, I would have just passed out on the floor dead. Like, honestly, to God, like if one of them had actually did or succeeded in something along those lines, I would have died, because they would have died. But you know, but reality, I just would have been like, oh my God, what did I just see?
Yeah.
But they clearly, you know, their faces are away, their bodies are totally, you know, differently proportioned. You know, I don't know if they were men or women or it doesn't really matter really, but just if they were, you know, if they were like drag queens doing them or whatever, it just very much totally was like, yep, that's someone else. That is totally someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unfortunate that it was, I mean, I get it was probably part of the kooky aspect that there was the angle of the whole show. It was just disappointing that it was so obvious. I thought, you didn't even try with the hair. Like, and Michelle's, like, or Rue's ass was not the body double's ass. Like, Rue had an amazing ass in that outfit, which was probably, God bless, foam padding to help make that. But it was, at least she just looked really stunning, I thought, in that silver outfit. And then you see the body double, and I was like, that's not her ass. That's not even, that's not a right ass. Like, that's
not even close.
Like, that's
not
like even a, close. That's like an apple bottom ass. Like, it was, and the hair, like, the wig looked similar, but the curls in the back were wrong. Like, it just, it really kind of bothered me in a way. And I was like, you're going to go to the effort to have the body double. Like, I just wished, because the stunts done were obvious enough that it wasn't them. I wish that they had given like more accuracy to the hair and some of the outfit kind of look, I think.
Yeah, but, agreed.
But
and I will say I love.
I'm just being nitpicky because it was like, what the fuck? Anyways.
Yeah, and I really did like the callback to All Stars 3 with Aja jumping from the box kind of thing. I thought that was funny. Obviously, it wasn't Rue, but it was just very kind of like, huh, nice.
So Philip says in the live chat, they tried as hard on those body doubles as they did to make Jasmine look like a pianist. Facts are facts, America. So yeah, that's pretty much the whole show. I think that it was a funny show. I thought it was a quirky show. As someone had posted, I got to look for this because it cracked me up. In our online chat, someone had made a comment. I think it's on, I don't know if this is Twitter or Tumblr. It's not Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, someone said, I'm not going to name him to make it anonymous, but it said, sweet baby Jesus, not since the Star Wars holiday special have I been so disappointed in a holiday special. Oh. And a lot of people thought it was a funny comment on a scathing article that was posted online. This didn't make me laugh. I felt bad for the person that posted it because I was like, oh, you went into this thinking you were going to see fabulosity. And instead, you got a Christmas pinata girl, and they're not the same thing. No. So, like, I get where they were disappointed, but I don't think it ranks up there. I just think it is one of those wackadoo, one-time,
agreed,
never going to be done again kind of thing. At least that's the way I see it, but I could be wrong.
I just think it was – I agree. I think overall it was kind of a, you know, weird, you know – kind of idea to kind of put it together, and I like the premise behind it. For the sake of like, oh hey, let's put together something for the holidays. I wish really honestly that it wasn't so heavy-handed with the RuPaul songs and the available on iTunes and all that shit. I think personally, I would have liked it if it had just been one or two of her songs and maybe not had it be so musical based and everything else. I would have maybe have liked it a little bit more. But again, it's RuPaul and it's, you know,
right.
She's kind of like the, I want to call her Queen Bee right now, but that's kind of the thing that comes is coming to mind right now. She's kind of the Queen Bee. She's Rio. The buzz is all about her right now. So
right.
Here we go.
I agree. So, yeah, the only thing that's popping through my head is that song, Guess Who Back in the House. And that would be Damon and I, because COLDR is going to continue on, because now we're rolling right into All-Star Season 4.
Four.
I'm so excited. No, I'm looking forward to it, but I pray that we don't jump immediately into Season 11, but I have a feeling that's going to happen. I'd like a break. So,
ditto.
I would like us to get through AS4 and then maybe take a month off or something before we continue on. But we'll see how that goes. So that's pretty much it. We're going to wrap up the show. Damon, do you have any final thoughts before we get into our closing stuff?
Nope, not really. I think that's it. I think this was a good, you know, kind of ending, wrapping up point. You know, we're all wrapped up in a nice little present with a bow. There you go.
Not a la Jasmine Masters.
No.
So, if you would like to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways to do it. You can go to cubsoutloud.com and you can go to our blog. You can submit something there if you want, or better yet, you can send us an email, cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Easy peasy. If you would like to leave us a voicemail message, you are welcome to do so. Sing us a little ditty, perhaps a holiday tune that isn't going to get us a copyright claim, because we probably would play it on the show. The number to contact us. What's that?
Oh, FYI, most Christmas carols are public domain.
Most, because they're old.
Yeah, yeah. Just put that in your little button. So, singing like Jingle Bells.
No Mariah Carey. Just
yeah.
That's a no. And no Wham. You know, all the recent stuff. You know, no. Go with a classic. But that number to call is 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. When it comes to social media, you can find us typically at the following outlets: Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, for about 11 more days, apparently, Tumblr. That's a whole other – go watch our regular show to understand about that. Just type in Cubs Out Loud as one word. If you would like to join the Entourage social chat, where we talk about – Drag Race specifically, you can go to tinyurl.com/telegram. That's TELEGRAM -COLDR. And you'll be able to join the Telegram chat on the Telegram platform to talk about Drag Race stuff. We're going to go back to our rule that we had last time from season 10, where we're going to put a, 48 hour hold. I think,
well, yeah, 48 hour. So.
So from when the show airs until afterwards, what we're going to do is we're going to try to track everybody that's in there. It's a very small group right now. Everybody's very nice. And so we basically, everyone doesn't comment on the latest episode for roughly 48 hours or until everyone says they have seen it / doesn't care about spoilers. So like some people are like, I'm not going to see it for 3 days. I don't care. So, you know, and then everyone just starts spilling their own tea.
There you go. Yep.
If you would like to support us, you could do that by going to our Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud store. You could get yourself a fabulous Cubs Out Loud Drag Race shirt like I'm wearing, in a lovely hot pink if you wanted to. I think we have a clutch as an ode to Purse First with Bob the Drag Queen somewhere in there with our logo on it. You can also subscribe to us and become a patron at patreon.com/cubsoutloud. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/cubsoutloud. You can, for as little as $1 a month, sign up. And
$1.
You, You actually get the pre and post show stuff in the feed of the shows. And there's some other stuff. And then you also get to support us, obviously, financially, help pay for the domain stuff. The domain renewal, actually, I think is happening this month. So thank you, patrons, for the money, because that allowed us to do that without spending Jeff's money, the producer of the main show. In that case, if you would like to promote us, rate us, give us feedback, we'd appreciate it. On iTunes, please rate us. If you love what we do, we'd appreciate it for the audio podcast. On iTunes, you can find us at tinyurl.com/iTunes-coldr, Google Play Podcast. You can obviously subscribe. Damon, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, where would they go?
The quickest and easiest way to get in touch with me would be to do Twitter. And I'm going to go ahead because most of the other ones are kind of going away. So Twitter is pup_Umbra. That's my handle there. Or you can find me as TheaterCup79 on most bear-related sites and Facebook.
Awesome. If you would like to find me online, you can pretty much find me anywhere that I have this listed as Gearbear73. That's GARBEAR73. And with that, we are going to exit to Rue's song, Christmas Queen, as they did in the show. And we all wish you a happy holla sleigh as you enjoy the rest of the season.